Well, we will. We will, yeah. You can leave the clapping. So I feel like an actor. Thank you, everybody, for coming to the first ever live episode of Do You Know the Mob?
Yeah.
We do it for the fans. Thank you, guys. That really means a lot. For those of you who don't know, I'm your co-host, Sam Bren. I'm missing my co-host. Or am I? The manager's not even in the question. But we're going to give this to him anyway. He's 6'2", 150 pounds. He likes long walks on the beach. He's already taken these. Sorry. A history major that is not useless. Not today. It's Brandon Elliott! Yeah. All right, so if you are not familiar with our show, we are so happy that you're here today or on Facebook Live. But we are Do You Know the Mob, where we do a short episode of a biography of a famous, or should I say infamous, mobster. If you're in the mob, please let us know now. We'd really appreciate that.
Raise your hands.
So each episode, Brandon is just like you guys, where he has no idea what the topic is going to be. Pretty scary stuff.
It is. I get taken by surprise every week.
Right. Sometimes he catches on. We give him little tidbits of history so he can kind of add his useful history degree, uses knowledge, but a lot of times we try to leave astray so he doesn't know.
Mm-hmm.
But the most important part of our show is the beginning.
Of course. The best part.
All right, so usually I give Brandon the first 10, top 10 of a trivia question, but today he needs help from the fans, and you can win some merch.
Yeah!
Thank you, Nancy Clare. They didn't make it on time, but I promise they're coming, and Hannah's going to write down your name. But Brandon needs your help to do this trivia, to win, because usually success doesn't always happen.
Yeah, we're about 40% accuracy on these bad boys.
That's right, but not today. All right, so the trivia, raise your hand if you think you have the answer. But today it's top 10 most visited national parks.
Ooh, raise your hand. You're gonna come up here when you guys you come up.
We got one right there.
Let's go. All right,
come on over.
So here. Have you come up.
So here's the mic.
Yeah. There
you
go. All right. So come right here. So what's your name?
Kai.
Kai. All right, Kai. What do you think one of the top 10 most visited national parks is?
Yellowstone.
Yellowstone. Do we have it?
That'd be correct. Number 6.
Yes. Woo! Let's go!
All right.
Who else?
Anybody else? Logan's like already got a shirt.
Let's go! All right. Yeah. Just say your name in the mic.
My name is Michael.
Michael, what do you do? What do you do for a living?
I'm an on-air radio host. Although I can't speak in front of this mic, apparently, so it's fucking...
Face radio.
There's too many people here.
Michael, what is your answer?
I'm going to say Zion.
You and me. Correct. Number 3.
Yeah.
All right. We have 3 more shirts to give away. Who else thinks they know? Oh, all right. Over here. Yeah.
Coming up?
Come on.
Let's give up.
It's just for a second.
All right.
How about Landon?
Landon?
Oh, he's got it. All right, Landon, no pressure, but a shirt is on the line.
It's big line.
Please tell the audience who you are.
I'm going to say Estes Park.
Is that right?
Estes Park? Where is Estes Park at? Where is
Colorado.
That? What park is it in?
Guess again.
What mountain chain is that in?
That's the only part I know.
Help him out.
It starts with an R.
It's a team effort. So.
It starts with an R.
It's not Riley.
No, it's these massive mountain chain. In the middle, it starts with the R-O-C-K.
Rocky Mountain.
Yeah, Rocky Mountain.
Is
that it? Is that it?
No, yeah, Rocky, yeah. And then Logan. We need Logan up here.
Logan. Original fans. Come on, Logan. There is an obvious one in there somewhere.
Logan, in your home state, please tell the fans where you're from.
Oh, good old Tennessee.
Oh. What national park is in Tennessee?
Dolly
Parton.
Oh, yes, of course. Smoky Mountain.
The Great Smoky Mountain.
Yeah, number one.
Let's go.
Let's go.
You were featured anyway, so. Logan was our past winner of a contest. All right, we have one more.
Anyone else?
One shirt to give away.
Let's go.
She finished her snatch.
She's ready. So tell us your name.
Yasmin.
Yasmin, what do you think it is?
The Grand Canyon.
The Grand Canyon is on the list.
You got it.
Yeah.
Number two.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, a heavy hitter.
All right, Brandon. Now you got to play cleanup here.
Cleanup?
They gave you a good five.
Good five. Now, the problem is I don't remember the five.
If you said it already, we'll let you know.
We'll give you a pass. Like, you messed up. All
That's
right.
Right.
Let's go with, we said Yellowstone yet?
Yes.
Yes, apparently we did.
What's the other Y?
Yosemite.
Oh,
I usually get those messed up. Yosemite, Zion.
We already said Zion.
Oh, we already said Zion. That's embarrassing.
No, you're okay.
Let's see.
Honestly, these last five might be a little challenging.
Oh, boy. California's a popular state. Where are the other ones in California? Redwoods.
Okay, Redwood. What else?
Yep.
Three more.
Let's see.
What's the one in Maine?
Arcadia.
No Arcadia.
What's another layup for me, Sam?
Think Montana.
Montana? Glacier.
All right.
Oh, that's embarrassing. Right. And then last one, let's see.
I don't know where the other one's at.
Grand Tetons.
Good try. I think that's a sleeper pick, too.
It is. Don't let people know. It's great.
So, for top 10 must visit national parks, has nothing to do with our podcast episode, in case you didn't put that together already. Number 10, Glacier. Number 9, I hope I'm pronouncing it right, Cuyahoga.
That's not a real place.
It is. Number 8, Joshua Tree.
Oh.
That's another California one.
Yeah, right, I can't. I've never been there.
Well, we'll have to fix that one. Michael and Josh can take it.
Oh, good.
Number 7, Yellowstone.
Okay,
number 6, Yosemite. Number 5, Acadia.
Okay.
Number 4, Rocky Mountain.
Yeah. Whoever picked that one up. There we go, Landon.
Number 3, Zion. 2, Grand Canyon, and number 1, the Great Smoky Mountains, right?
Yeah, buddy.
Like the great dog was named after of the University of Tennessee.
Hashtag keep it local, man.
Keep it local. All right, everybody. Well, a few announcements. First off, we want to thank our spouses. Hannah Ellis, not my spouses.
Yeah.
The flyers, the snacks, we couldn't do it without her.
And your spouse,
yes.
Nancy Quare.
Yeah.
Can't make it tonight, but she does allow us to do this.
She's taking care of the dog so I can come here and do shenanigans with Brandon. So.
That's what I'm talking about.
So thank you guys for being here. We are very excited, and we'll do our normal intro, as always, as we get the music lined up.
I mean, you got to have the intro.
All right. So for those of you who know, welcome to the podcast of... There it is.
There we go.
Do you know the moss? My name is Sam O'Brien, and as we already announced,
this is Brandon Ellis.
And Brandon, I think today is going to pull you for a doozy. I don't think you're ready for this.
Ooh.
I was trying to think, how do we keep it special being at John C. Tennessee, doing a live episode? And we've already done Al Capone.
We have.
As many of you know, Capone had came by here a time or two.
Little Chicago, they call it.
Little Chicago, not just for the tattoos.
Is a tattoo parlor in town.
Today, we're going to go back to December 12th, 1915, in Hoboken, New Jersey.
Ooh.
Anybody seen Cake Boss?
Hoboken. Is that where it's from?
That's my best accent. That's where he was born. The famous... Frank Sinatra.
Oh, a twist.
Many of you may or may not know Frank Sinatra, obviously one of the biggest celebrities, showbiz in American history, but also may or may not have ties to the mob.
Mm.
So we're going to get into that. I say may or may not because he kept denying it. But anyways.
Like all great mobsters do.
All great ties. So he was born to Sicilian parents. And due to his birth weight of 13 and a half pounds. Can you imagine that?
That, tell you what, that's impressive stats.
Is that how much you weighed when you came out?
That's about how much I bench press.
Oh! Frank Sinatra had a traumatic delivery at birth, as you can imagine, leaving one of his eardrums impaired. I had no idea about that.
And he can sing.
and he can sing just like some other famous musicians, you know.
Wow.
Raises sense, I guess. Because of this, he also got to skip the World War II draft. So I guess that worked out for him. Apparently you need to be able to hear, I guess.
I guess. I mean, minor inconvenience.
Yeah, yeah. Both his parents worked full time. Father was a firefighter. Mother was a midwife and an activist for women's rights. Frank Sinatra, his favorite singer he looked up to, was Bing Crosby.
Ooh.
As many Americans, I'm sure, were. He went to a concert of his with his girlfriend, and that inspired him to do what all parents love for their kids to do, drop out of high school and chase a music career. So, guess it worked out for some.
Right? Works out every time.
So, Frank Sinatra was doing odd jobs, sports music career. He played at local nightclubs, roadhouses, meetings at the local Democratic Party in Hoboken, you know, Brandon's party.
Mm-hmm.
Sinatra, after he joined forces with, three other musicians. So they were known as the Three Flashes. And then eventually they would add a fourth, which would be the Hoboken Four. Very original. Brandon, could you tell us who was involved in that music group, the Hoboken Four?
Absolutely, Sam. So the Hoboken Four was kind of where our boy Frank Sinatra started getting a start.
Mm-hmm.
They were an American musical quartet formed in 1935, uniting a trio of Italian-American musicians who called themselves the Three Flashes.
Mm.
And their main person was the aspiring singer Frank Sinatra.
Of course.
You know, they hit it big, you know, like all people that dropped out of high school.
Mm-hmm.
And they went on a 7-month tour. However, it ended early after they started fighting as a group.
This sounds a lot like, Harry Styles.
Harry Styles or Jonas.
Justin Timberlake, they all just have to start their own thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then eventually they go on tour as the Jonas Brothers again, right?
So. Yeah, yeah. There was never a rerun of this one.
they were before their time. So his work singing and performing for radio paid off. In 1939, Harry James discovered Sinatra singing at the Rustic Cabin. That's isn't that where you got married, right?
It was the Rustic Farm.
Everybody married at a Rustic Cabin, yeah. In 1940, he joined forces with the rival, Tommy Dorsey Orchestra. So this is where they really got big. He was 25 years old. He was singing with the largest band in the country. And while on tour in California, he had his first daughter all the way in New Jersey, Nancy. So, you know, being famous comes with a price, I guess.
It does.
So while singing for them, he became male vocalist of the year in 1941. I assume that's a pretty big deal.
I mean,
Did he win that award?
That was the Heisman back in the day, I hear.
Oh. that's back when Heisman Trophy winners were kickers and punters. But, from Yale. Frank Sinatra was consistently being asked if he had mafia connections, and he consistently denied them and would even respond angrily to it. That's usually a good way to know if someone's maybe offended or not telling the truth.
Deny.
That's right. Can't handle the truth. he did have one buddy that kind of spilled the beans. We all do. I'm probably that buddy for you, right? Don Rickles, the comedian, he would commonly talk about, at least afterward, about Frank Sinatra's ties to the mafia. While he was with the Tommy Dorsey band, though, there was an issue where they kind of fell apart. And during this, that's when you get our first taste of Frank Sinatra's mafia ties. His godfather was a man of the mafia and supposedly helped coerce into breaking Frank Sinatra's contract. The story goes the guy put a gun to their head. That's usually pretty convincing.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if it's legally standing in the court of law, but it sounds like coercion.
Sounds pretty convincing to me. But that man's name was Willie Moretti, all right? So Willie Moretti's a big name, and he was the one that did that. And supposedly the story goes that to break the contract, they paid out a compensation of $1. So he could break it.
Yeah, right, something there.
I think for him back then, that was a good deal. Moretti would become known as the underboss for the Genovese crime family, still very active today. So, and because of this, later on, Sinatra gets we get our second tie to the mafia, the Mafia Havana Conference in 1946. Brandon, can you tell us about this conference?
Well, I'll tell you, we're not talking about Havana, Florida. We're talking about Havana, Cuba, folks.
Okay.
Before Castro, before communism, it was a bright, shining dictatorship. But It was Havana Conference in 1946 was a historic meeting of the United States Mafia and Costa Nostra leaders in Havana. Sometime supposedly arranged by Charles Lucky Luciano, who we have spotlighted on this show, Sam, as you may remember.
Oh, yes.
The conference was held to discuss important mob policies, rules, and business interests. It was considered to be the largest mob summit at that time since the Atlantic City Conference of 1929. And then one of the key reasons they were talking about this, one of the key reasons they were meeting, was actually talking about the growing narcotics trade.
Drugs?
I know.
Mafia?
I know. And implementing it into the United States. Up to this point, they've been doing a lot of gambling, but now is when they start getting into drugs.
Yeah, always does. And also, Sinatra was asked years later about it, and he claims that he had no idea a major mob convention was going on. He just went there to sing.
You know, when you see a lot of guys in fedoras and a lot of money.
Don't a lot of good singers go to Cuba, you know, for mob conferences?
It's a common thing.
So later on, we get in with a quarrel with someone who talked poorly about Bugsy Siegel and the Mafia, and that was Joe Carroll Silver. So basically, Frank Sinatra kind of had a violent encounter with this journalist. So that's kind of one of our other ties to why Frank Sinatra was kind of buddy buddies and also would defend his Mafia brothers, so to speak. So. That same year, Sinatra also performed at the wedding reception of Willie Moretti's daughter. So, I mean, you know.
Casual friends.
Could be coincidence.
Casual.
In 1950, the Kiefer Committee was established to investigate organized crime for the U.S. Senate. And we've talked a lot about the Kiefer Committee. But they brought in Sammy Davis Jr. and they brought in Frank Sinatra to decide what they were going to talk about him. But can you tell us, remind us about the Kiefer Committee?
Yes, Sam. It's also known by its much catchier name, the United States Senate Special Committee to Investigate Crime to Interstate Commerce.
I see why they call it the Kiefer
Committee. Yeah, absolutely. And it's known as the Kiefer Committee as one of the senators, which is actually local to East Tennessee.
Oh,
yeah. Okay. At least Tennessee native. But anyway, this was held from 1950 to 1951, and it became famous around the United States because it was one of the first committees that was broadcasted widely. Mm-hmm. So you had up to 30 million people at one time tuning in to watch. And at this time, the United States was much smaller, obviously. Mm-hmm. And what they were looking at was there was a growing crime concern amongst cities in the United States and how to combat that. And so they're doing investigation into it and obviously calling up major people to talk, you know, mobsters and people like that. Mm-hmm. Anyway, some of the fun things that came out of this, we'll call it fun, was the growing market of live TV shows talking about crime and crime movies came out of this, a lot part of that. And then also the term Godfather was first popularly used amongst the American public at this time.
And Godfather, the movie, there is, you'll recall, a famous singer has played, and that is based off Frank Sinatra.
Our boy, so, Frank Sinatra. Yeah, yeah. No mom ties.
No mom ties.
No mom ties.
So this also happened again in 1972. Again, Sammy Davis Jr., Frank Sinatra, they were asking about gambling and corruption, and repeatedly these guys refused to say that they knew anything, so they didn't get called for the hearings. We did, however, have Frank Sinatra join another boy band, or so to speak. Ooh,
Boy Wonders?
The Rat Pack.
Ooh.
Very close, yeah. Can you tell us about the Rat Pack, Brandon?
Well, the Rat Pack was Boy Wonders.
That's right.
They would be the boys that your parents didn't want you to go hang out with.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things used to describe the Rat Pack was old Hollywood charm, scandalous behavior, and partying lifestyle made them the bad boys of the late 50s and 60s.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, they were an informal group of entertainers, including Nat King Cole, mm-hmm. Mickey Rooney, Dean Martin, Sammy Davis Jr., and our boy Frank Sinatra.
Mm-hmm.
There are several explanations of why the name Rat Pack, but one of the popular ones is they came back one night from out on town in downtown Las Vegas.
Everything good happens in the middle of the night, Las Vegas.
Late night, and one of the spouses of the guy said they looked like a bunch of rats.
Oh, okay, so that's how the name came
out. Yeah.
Right. Simple enough. So Sinatra also, as many of you know, had close relations with politicians and future presidents, or then Franklin D. Roosevelt, Harry Truman, John F. Kennedy, and Ronald Reagan. Really bounced around there.
Yeah.
And
picked some winners. Picked some winners.
He did. Winners. Also Richard Nixon, depending how you define winner, I guess. So he won the Presidential Medal of Freedom in 1985, the Congressional Gold Medal in 1997. Just to add to his trophy case.
I mean, that's basically, you know, the top you can get.
Mm-hmm.
Tippy top.
And it's common knowledge that Sinatra was the liaison between Kennedy and Sam Giancana. As people may know, the Kennedys were involved with the mob, and then when they got into power, kind of went against the mob, hence the conspiracies. Mm-hmm. We'll save that for another 50-episode podcast another time, what happened to John F. Kennedy. In the 1960s, the FBI documented Sinatra's reputation and in the campaign with Robert Kennedy and Richard Nixon for re-election. The FBI kept records of Sinatra until 1998 after his death. The Bureau never got to prove any wrongdoing on Frank Sinatra's part.
Mm.
So that's kind of the mystery. You know, we know he's involved, but did he do anything illegal?
There's some scandalous accusations and evidence.
Mm-hmm. Don Rickles would joke around it for years, but Frank Sinatra had 1,400 recordings made during his 50 years as a performer.
Whew.
That might have been before cancel culture. he's regarded by many critics as the most important body of work in American popular music. Single-handedly, Sinatra redefined singing as a means of personal expression.
Wow.
So that's Frank Sinatra. Thank you all for being at our podcast.
Woo!
The fun doesn't end yet. We still have one more thing to do, and this is open floor. Oh, thank you. Yeah, we got to play Frank Sinatra music. That would be a crime not to.
Classy.
If on Facebook or in person anybody has a question you'd be more than happy to ask Brandon and I at this time, please be considerate that you're putting us on the spot.
You know, it could be anything. You know, how do we warm up? How Sam warm up his throat before?
How do we find topics? Brandon's dating advice? You name it.
Who is Spy Guy?
We do want to know who Spy Guy.
Yeah, but this is an honest here. Yeah.
For those of you who don't know, we do have an email, doyouknowthemob@gmail.com, and we have a guy named Spy Guy who emails us topics. We don't know who he is.
Yeah. Or if you have a topic you'd like to recommend for us to research as well.
Yes, yes. But at this time, if anybody has a question, just raise your hand. So.
Yes.
Yes.
So the question was, out of all the mobsters in the world, who would you most like to be like and why? That's a good one. Out of all the ones we've researched.
I was hoping he was going to say who was our favorite episode.
Well, I'll tell you the ones I liked the most were the ones where we went to Tampa. We had the three people in Tampa. Those were fun because one of the guys robbed a bank and then like got away.
My answer would be the few guys that we've done that lived to their 70s and 80s and died of cancer or something natural. Most of our mobsters did not live a long life.
Yeah, the 20%.
Might have been less than that. Might have been less than that. For those of you who don't know, the reason we started this podcast, because I have a relative that was in the mob, and he is not my answer, because he's really, as most of these guys are, you shouldn't really be okay, be fans of them. But he died with electric chair. So I would not say I'd be that. Yeah, he was trouble. But, so that's not my answer, but, I thought you were going to ask, like, who was our favorite. That would be my favorite, I guess.
Pierpont, right?
Harry Pierpont. Yes. My mom's main name is Pierpont, so. Yes. My wife is working hard night shifts, but she works hard so I can
She's
do these.
She's actually an undercover thing. Right now, yes. Doing some recon, right. So we don't want to bring it up. Yeah. Yes. Mm. Ooh, favorite of all when we cover.
My answer is Harry Pierpont.
Harry Pierpont,
just
cover?
Because that.
Oh,
genre.
Ooh, years.
I like the West.
We've done a couple of Western guys that were pretty fun.
Yeah.
I don't know. Because like everybody starts out with the ones where it's like, oh, John Dillinger, Al Capone, you know, all the people that people know about. But then we've gone to some like really random ones where it's like really hard to do research on them.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we actually, there's a couple we need to do. I've been throwing around. I need to mention to you, but,
yeah, we still have plenty.
There's some cowboys in Oklahoma from the 1890s that are pretty good.
We have more material than we imagined we would ever have. But, my answer would probably be, I like the Dillinger Pierpont gang. I do like the, Pretty Boy Floyd, Bayface Nelson. And then, I also like the Bonnie and Clyde. So that, 1920s to 30s, 20s, middle 30s. America era.
The 60s and 70s are kind of fun, though, because the 60s and 70s governments change. You have the FBI now, but you also have, like, more technology, which is pretty interesting.
Yep. Yes. Santa Claus
was a mobster? Was Santa Claus a mobster? You know, there you can make a case that, yes, he does sneak into people's houses at night.
We support St. Nick more than these guys. Guys and gals. We have done gals.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Ooh. Ooh. Ooh, the question was, is the mob still currently going on?
Thank you for repeating them for you.
Yeah, that's a good question. Yes, it's interesting. You know, we joke around, you know, what about the mob? You know, are they going to hear our podcast or something like that? Right. But we have seen people and looked up. We've actually seen news stories on people that we've talked about that are coming out now recently, and people that are still alive that are still part of that mob.
Yeah, I'd say the two sources I'd recommend if you're interested, the John Gotti documentary definitely shows how real it's still going. And then one of my favorite books, Killing the Mob, if you get a chance, it's by Martin Duggard and Bill O'Reilly. That one, it goes through a lot of history, but at the end it talks about how the five families are still around. The people now in charge, our generation, operate a little differently. They actually operate more digitally. Their focus is more on fraud and money laundering online. So, which is kind of scary to think about, but that's where crime is at right now.
I mean, it's really interesting because we talked a little bit about, you know, the Havana Conference of 1946, and they're talking about moving from alcohol, which had been the 30s, you know, and starting to move into the drug trade, which you see that balloon in the United States, and then, you know, starting to move to more online, you know, more fraud, internet-based. So kind of moving with the times, like illegal moonshine now, it's just kind of a thing some people do in their backyard.
Although in Tennessee, that's still, they're still doing moonshine.
Yeah, they sell the store now.
Great question, though.
Yeah.
Anybody else?
Anybody else?
Yes.
Ooh, if we could pick one celebrity to come on the podcast.
Well, dead or alive?
Oh, I don't know.
I'd pick, what's his name that went against the Public Enemies?
You're talking about, what was his name? 1920s, 1930s.
That's bad that I'm forgetting.
Yeah, but he ended up going to, was it Cincinnati and being the sheriff there and then ended up like,
probably some of the people we've covered that looked up that went against. I would say my answer would be Melvin Purvis. That's who it was.
Purvis, that's.
He was under the FBI regime of killing and stopping some of the guys like John Dillinger and Public
Enemy. If we're going with that vein, I'd pick Hoover because I think he'd be pretty interesting.
Purvis worked for Edgar Hoover.
But if we're not picking him at all, I just go with someone totally different like Ryan Reynolds.
Yes, great question.
That's a good one. I have a hot take here. People talk about going south. I'd say you go north.
Yeah, my parents live in northern Michigan, and my dad actually mentioned, he said the Christmas tree business used to be a mafia tie because cash heavy. So wherever you could think cash heavy would probably be my answer.
Man, they're ruining Christmas too.
I know. I'd say cash heavy and where you can buy off law enforcement.
Have you seen The Accountant, the movie The Accountant? No, I know that. But you got to launder your money through three different equally boring businesses.
Yeah, so that's a great question, Dad.
Yeah, that's also the longest border. I think the longest continuous border in the world is the Canadian United States border, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Besides Russia's,
or well, with one country, Yeah.
So, great question.
Well,
anybody else?
Going once, going twice.
All right.
Well, hey guys, do you want to do the honor or me?
No, all you.
Hey guys, we really appreciate you guys coming, showing support. This has been something that we've loved doing. And it'll keep going on it's been going for 2.5 years so far.
I know, longer than we expect. Thank you for listening to us and supporting us at Do You Know the Mob. I'm your co-host, Sam Braden.
And this is Brandon Ellis.
Signing off.